That's the R-rated action comedy Shotgun Wedding out today in theaters and wide release. Welcome to Silver Screen Previews for January the 27th, 2023. All across Instagram Live and also on the Buzzsprout Podcast, we welcome you to the show. On the other side of the aisle, we welcome back Callie Cox. Hello, Callie. How you been?
Hello, Rob. I've been great. It's great to be back.
That's fantastic. So we're talking about Shotgun Wedding, a film that has just been released. You have Josh Duhamel, you have J-Lo, and you have a story where it's kind of like out there. They're trying to get married, but all of a sudden their ceremony is being hijacked by criminals. All right, take it away. What did you think about this movie?
I actually had so much fun watching this movie. I thought the performances were pretty good. I thought J-Lo and Duhamel's chemistry was, like, fine, but Jennifer Coolidge really did a lot of heavy lifting in this movie, I thought. I thought it was shot well. The locations are beautiful. Shout out to the location manager. They're the real MVP. It's cheesy, but I think it kind of comes with the genre in a lot of ways. And one thing I also really appreciated is that movies that are all really, like, romance-focused often tend to focus on people in their early to mid-20s. Or if the cast is a little older, that's like a main component of it, and it's not here. So I really appreciated that. Overall, I think it kind of, you know, it follows some sort of action, comedy, romance movie tropes, but I think it breaks enough with the story that overall I enjoyed it.
So you liked it. And unbelievable, unbelievable. So a thumbs up from Callie Cox on Shotgun Wedding. Now, there have been many Shotgun Wedding kind of films over the past 2 years where they've tried to scrape together a script and put it together and just throw it on the wall and see if it sticks with A actor, B actor, C actor. The question here is this enough comedy for the movie to work? I say it didn't. I think it missed the boat completely. I'm very disappointed because you have the story in itself is ridiculous. Because who the hell is going to go hijack a wedding in the middle of a beautiful setting, even if people have money? I mean, where do you come up with this idea? Who came up with this script? Honestly.
That's kind of what I liked about it.
That's what you liked about it? I thought it was such an unfunny rom-com. Explain yourself, please.
I just like that it was so weird. I just think so many rom-coms are very, like, boy is unhappy in their whatever, their life. Girl is unhappy in their life. They meet, they fall in love, they are in another friend's wedding and they're sad because they're single. Whatever. I just think that it's all very, can be very by the book, very rote, and I liked that this one wasn't. So I liked the weird.
Alright, so you like the weird, but I just hate the fact that J-Lo is overacting as usual again. I think that the only few times that she has not overacted was in A, Selena, and B, Money Train, where she was given like a co-star and everybody else carried the front load. I think too much J-Lo is just too much jelly in this script and in this movie in general. I just honestly think that the producers just wanted an escape just of reality. Say, look, everybody, look, we got a ton of money here. Let's just go to Tahiti or whatever island this thing is taking place in, and let's just shoot a movie there. Let's bring J-Lo, let's bring Josh Duhamel, and let's bring all these other characters involved, and let's just try and get a movie done. I don't care what the thing is. Bring some guys that look like criminals, throw them in the movie, make them look the bad guys, get some money involved, have a lot of sarcasm, a lot of false-hitting humor that really doesn't work all too well. Let's throw in Lenny Kravitz. Maybe that'll work. I think that by the end of the movie, or by the end of the second act, I was just so bored with the story, where it was going, that I was like, oof, this is just going into nothing. And unfortunately, I give this movie a thumbs down. So we agree to disagree on Shotgun Wedding. Wow. Okay. Not off to a good start, but we have more promising movies to come, yes. The next film on Silver Screen Previews tonight is something called Infinity Pool, which is R-rated. It's a horror, sci-fi, body horror movie from Brandon Cronenberg. Out today, also in wide release and Prime Video. Stars Alexander Skarsgård, Mia Goth, and Cleopatra Coleman. James and M. Foster are on vacation when a fatal accident exposes the resort's perverse subculture of hedonistic tourism. So here's a clip, I believe, from Infinity Pool. Check this out. Yeah, nothing like staring at your own self there in a bunch of silly putty. That's Infinity Pool, the latest from Brandon Cronenberg, the great son of the great director, David Cronenberg. So this is his latest release, Infinity Pool. All right, Callie, your observations on this one.
Well, it is definitely creepy, but unfortunately for me, that's kind of where the buck stopped. Whatever it was trying to say about privilege or tourism or relationships kind of got all muddied by, in my opinion, a lot of gore and violence for the sake of shock value rather than something that kind of enhanced the story. I also wasn't a huge fan of how this was shot. It was a little too much what I call shaky cam and also extreme close-ups, which there is absolutely a time and a place for, excuse me, but it needs to be used selectively so that it has an impact, I think. I also just thought it was way too long. I thought it was really slow in the first act, and then it kind of ramped up getting into the second act, and then it just sort of dropped off again, and then by the time it ramped up again in the third act, I had lost all interest in these characters and just didn't really care what had happened to them. I was like, and then it was all of that buildup for very little payoff, in my opinion. I do think that the actors did an excellent job. I think Mia Goth is delightfully disturbing, and I think Alexander Skarsgård was really great, but for me, that wasn't quite enough. So, unfortunately, I am giving this one a thumbs down.
Thumbs down from Callie Cox on Infinity Pool. We've seen a lot of Mia Goth lately. We've seen her in, obviously, X and Pearl and the upcoming Maxine coming up this year. So here, there's a respite. You would think that she would deviate from the character that she's been playing for these past 3-4 years. But no, we get more of the same. Not that it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that Mia Goth has turned into a very persuasive actress over this time. The way she moves, the way she talks to people, she talks to seep into your soul. I don't know if that makes any sense.
It absolutely does. She's also got quite a stare on her to stare into your soul. So yes.
No eyebrows, but she's got a ton of eyes, I tell you that. It's incredible. But she is very persuasive, and the way she gets into Alexander Skarsgård's character is very, very scary, to say the least. Obviously, there's a scene here in the first act where they meet, and all of a sudden, they're off on this side of this road where they're kind of enjoying the beach, sort of. It's kind of like a rocky beach, but... And then all of a sudden, Alex Skarsgård has somebody come up from behind and do something to him, where then you start seeing some kind of drips in the rocks. And, yeah, you can get the idea of what's going on, but, yeah, Mia Goth is going to work there, going to town on him. But, yeah, that I mean, that's when you know that the movie is going somewhere that you haven't seen before.
That's true. Yeah. That is an example of one of the extreme close-ups that I did. I was like, did I mean this? No, I knew what was going on. I didn't mean this.
Yeah, she seems so calm, yet Alexander Skarsgård looks like he's having some kind of a seizure or something. I think the turning point, I didn't mean to make you choke on your water. I think the turning point is the fact that when James and M are taken away by the police, that is the turning point at the beginning of the second act. That's when everything starts going haywire for him. And all of a sudden, before he knows it, he's in a clone factory of himself. What did you think about all the different actors that were part of that deviant, demonic group?
I think they were all uniquely creepy is the best word I can come up with right now. I think it was, they did do a good job of putting together a really, like, interesting group of actors who very interesting chemistry, like not chemistry obviously than any kind of romantic chemistry, but when they were all together, they clearly had a bond.
Yeah.
Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing is for everyone else to judge, but they clearly had a bond, and it was a very interesting chemistry in those scenes for sure.
Honestly, I think this is a movie to flaunt Mia Goth's sexuality and the way she's so sensual. She loves being naked, apparently, and she loves to do all these different things on screen, which, of course, if you're a guy, you're like, oh, wow, was incredible, unbelievable. But to the innocent observer, they're like, what the hell is going on here? Yeah. Just realize, yeah. This is a body horror movie. This is not, you know, Weekend at Bernie's. This is not something, you know, that's going to be slapstick. This is some serious stuff and serious subject matter. All in all, I think a weird film. But that's what you expect from a Cronenberg, right? That's what you sign up for. When you knew we saw the poster, David Cronenberg's son, Brandon Cronenberg, this is what you're going to get. This movie actually is better than Crimes of the Future, honestly, in my opinion. Did you see that or no?
I don't think I have seen that one, so
okay.
I can't say now. I'll get back to you.
All right, that's good enough. Yeah, so yeah, believe it or not, I will give this movie a passing grade. A little bit too long, yes. But is it effective and weird along the whole Cronenberg tangent? Yes. So I give this a thumbs up, believe it or not. Yes, for Infinity Pool. All right, so we agree to disagree again on this one.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yes,
all right.
We do.
The next film on Silver Screen Previews tonight is something called Maybe I Do. It's another rom-com. What's going on with January? PG-13, directed by Michael Jacobs. In theaters in a limited release, stars Emma Roberts, Richard Gere, Susan Sarandon, Luke Bracey, Diane Keaton, and William H. Macy. Michelle and Alan set a family dinner, but the affair takes a whole different new meaning as the parents already know each other too well. They've been cheating on each other's spouses for months with each other. The great Susan Sarandon there in Maybe I Do, out today in theaters on a limited basis. It's PG-13. Callie Cox, your observations on this one.
Okay, I'm going to start with what I really liked about this movie, or one thing I liked about this movie, which is that they have the credits at the top of the movie. This is for two reasons. One is because people don't stay through the credits or sit through the credits, and the crew deserves recognition. But more importantly, too, it let the audience in on the fact that this is based on a play, and it was the playwright that also wrote the screenplay for the movie, which is important because it explains quite a bit about the film. So I was really excited about this, but this is the wrong medium for this story. I think it's a good story. I think it's not a great adaptation. Everything from sort of the dialogue to the acting style to even the transitions in between scenes is very, very theatrical. Like, I can absolutely see this on a stage, but there's some lines and some things that you can do on stage that just don't work on screen, doesn't really sell on screen.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciated that it was a tight 90. And I appreciated the length. However, because it is so dialogue heavy in the way that it really works in theater,
mm-hmm.
It really kind of dragged, I thought, in a lot of those places. And I didn't honestly think the actors had great chemistry, except for Emma Roberts and Luke Bracey. I've seen them in another movie together and thought their chemistry was great, and I do think they brought some of that here. But the other four actors, it seemed like they were all individually great, and then they cast them without chemistry reads. That's kind of what it felt like to me. Overall, good story, wrong medium. So, unfortunately, this one is another thumbs down from me.
Thumbs down again from Callie Cox, this time on Maybe I Do, the star-studded Maybe I Do. Callie, I agree with you. I'm very disappointed in this movie. Oh, for crying out loud. You know, you have such talent here. They just waste it completely. I just think that maybe some of these actors took the paycheck. I think William H. Macy maybe took the paycheck because he hasn't done anything really in a long time. And like, no, nobody's knocking on Susan Sarandon's door either. Diane Keaton, on the other hand, is working a lot more. And, you know, Richard Gere picks whatever he wants, whatever he feels like. And I think that he did this movie because it's the niece of, or the niece of Julia Roberts, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's why it works like that. Or is it her cousin or is her niece? I'm not sure. But it's a...
I think niece, but... Some relation.
Family member of Julie Roberts.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's too much dialogue here. It's just overload. Even for a guy, there's just too much here. I just can't stop listening to these people. Just da-da-da-da-da-da when I want to hear this. To go back to the old Devil Wears Prada analogy from Emily Blunt. I think what the story should have been here was the parents cheating on each other. Well, that's boring. What they should have done was move on to like a serious divide issue of the leads where the rest of the cast could have been part of the solution instead of just being a hindrance to the entire movie and not really providing anything as a bonus. So, you know, seeing older folks also have sex is not really fun to see, but look, it's actors, it's great actors. I can understand. Don't come at me with that stuff. I understand. It's just not the most important thing to see on screen or anything like that. So all in all, unfortunately for this movie, I give this a thumbs down for Maybe I Do.
Maybe we shouldn't.
Maybe you shouldn't go watch this movie. But yeah, we're just trying to save you time. It's nice, like you said, nice and tidy 90 minutes. But you could be doing something else, like, you know, washing your clothes, you know, handling errands. Yeah, do something else. All right.
Yeah.
Our fourth and final film tonight on Silver Screen Previews is Life Upside Down. So this one involves Bob Odenkirk, Radha Mitchell, Danny Houston. It's in a limited theater release today. It's also on Vudu, directed by Cecilia Minnenucci. An art dealer navigates a personal and professional crisis during the lockdown. So this movie's not rated. It's a drama romance. And here is a scene that sets up the entire story between Bob Odenkirk and the COVID pandemic situation that falls on.
What's up?
Yeah. Hang up before the chopper lands on your lawn. That is another one of the spook factor crap that they had going on like 3 years ago. I mean, you had helicopters everywhere. You had the sirens going everywhere. Oh, all right. I'll let you gravel at this first. Life Upside Down. It's not rated, but all right. Your observations, Callie Cox.
So I think that this being filmed in the height of lockdown and all the actors sort of filming themselves and finding innovative ways to film is a positive for this movie because it's a good sort of impressive use of ingenuity and proof that the entertainment industry will always find a way. However, the storyline was kind of boring. I didn't really think anything happened, which, yes, I get it. It was lockdown. Not a lot was happening. But still, come on. Characters were a little one note. There wasn't a whole lot of chemistry between them, which I do understand is hard when you're filming not in the same room as someone a lot of the time. I did a lot of Zoom theater in 2020, so I can feel their pain with that for sure. But also, watch a film about a tragedy that I lived through this soon after it happening, that I need it to like make me laugh or make me feel something. I think there's a place for a film like this. I just think it's way too soon after 2020, and because it was filmed in the middle of everything, it sort of lacks a perspective, in my opinion. So it's kind of hard to play the emotions of something that you're processing at the time, if that makes any sort of sense. So I think they did a great job with what they were working with, but overall, I think you can skip this one too.
Oh, okay. Thumbs down from Callie Cox on Life Upside Down. I thought also this was a wasteful hour and a half of my time. Also, I think Bob Odenkirk and the writers of this script missed a golden opportunity to make this into a modern day 9.5 weeks. Cut out the comedy, have Radha Mitchell just become somebody that's just enamored with him, keeps calling him. They keep having sex in different locations, a warehouse, in the bus stop, in the supermarket. Just keep constantly having sex, and it just gets grimier and dirtier during the pandemic, during COVID, you know, being like a fist against authority throughout this entire time of the lockdown. Okay, what do you think about that idea?
I think that's interesting. I think that's a very different film. I think that's not necessarily maybe what they were trying to say with the film, but I mean, I think that's another like film in and of itself. So there you go. Now we've got two ideas.
There you go. More ideas, the better. I just think that, yeah, Bob Odenkirk was miscast in this movie because his main forte, I think, is action and drama. Not really doing comedic stuff, I don't think. And also, the isolation angle is just not fun. It's too soon. Trying to relive this stuff is just too soon. I don't think that they made a very good or cognizant effort to try and correct the script in a way where it would have been less impending doom type on top of this movie. That was terrible. No?
No, I totally agree. That's kind of what I was getting at with it's sort of hard to process, like, portray something while you're still processing it. There's a sense of impending doom because there was. And so while it was agree.
Like having a dark cloud over you. I think what they should have done was gone 4 years into the future where everything's back to normal and then see how their relationships, you know, they meet in the supermarket, yeah. they meet somewhere, and then they try to rekindle that relationship now without all this negativeness around the air and see whether or not they could have done something else with that. But they didn't, so in the end, I give this movie a thumbs down. Zero for effort, zero for anything, unfortunately. They dropped the ball. All right, let's move on. Let's do a recap of this week's films on Silver Screen Previews. First, Shotgun Wedding, Callie.
I thought this movie was a fun watch. It is definitely out there. It's a little bit of a weird storyline, but I think that keeps it interesting in a genre that often has very rote, very by-the-book storylines a lot of the time. And I thought the actors all did a pretty good job. Jennifer Coolidge, I think, did a lot of the heavy lifting here for me. But overall, I gave this one a thumbs up.
You gave it a thumbs up. I gave it a thumbs down. I just thought that the story was ridiculous enough. And then you have J-Lo's overacting, overshadowing any kind of great role execution that Josh Duhamel had in this movie. So, unfortunately, a thumbs down. The next film tonight on Silver Screen Previews was Infinity Pool. Callie?
It's definitely disturbing. Just look at that poster. And there are some great performances from Alexander Skarsgård and Mia Goth specifically, but unfortunately for me, the film is riddled with shock just for shock value's sake, not to give the film any substance, and the script dragged out way too long for not enough payoff for me, so this one was a thumbs down from me.
All right, thumbs down from Callie. I gave it a thumbs up because it made me laugh during different parts of this movie with the shock and ridiculousness of the way the story was told. Also, just so many different kinds of ways that Mia Goth can get into your subconscious during this movie was a feat. Not easily reachable, but she did it in this movie. So I gave that in all a thumbs up for Infinity Pool. The third film tonight on Silver Screen Previews was Maybe I Do, Callie.
This movie had a couple of funny one-liners, but the majority of the actors were individually good but lacked a chemistry together. And the dialogue heaviness of it sort of made it really, really clear that this is meant to be on stage, not on screen. It's definitely more suited there. So a good story, but just not a great adaptation. Didn't work as a film for me. So thumbs down from me.
Thumbs down for me. Also on this, I just thought that they wasted the talent of all the actors with a script and a story that went nowhere really interesting-wise. So a thumbs down. And the fourth and final film tonight on Silver Screen Previews was Life Upside Down. Callie?
Being filmed at the height of lockdown while everyone was in their own homes filming themselves definitely makes a statement about the entertainment industry always finding a way and kind of the longevity of it no matter what the obstacles. But unfortunately, that is the only statement that the movie made. The characters kind of flatlined. I wasn't invested in their stories or their well-being at all. So I think it completely missed the mark. It was a thumbs down from me.
All right, so thumbs down. I also gave it a thumbs down. This is called lazy script writing. And also, not enough effort given by the actors in this doom and gloom scenario movie, which works to no success, unfortunately. So that's the way it works out for that one. Thumbs down. So we both agree on Life Upside Down, which you can catch in limited theater release in theaters today. So you can see that right there. Callie Cox, before we get on out of here, give us your social media coordinates, please.
Yes, I am at Callie J. Cox here on Instagram, over on TikTok, and over on Twitter.
Excellent. All right, well, we'll catch you, Callie, around the way. We appreciate your expert analysis on these films this week.
Thank you so much for having me back. It was a blast, as always.
Fantastic. All right, guys, we will catch you back here, let's see, tomorrow night for Splattervision Season 2 premiere. Catch us with Amy the Conqueror, 11 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Pacific, right here on Silver Screen Previews channel. Also, please note that we'll be back here next Friday for another four films. So on behalf of Callie Cox, I'm Rob Martin, and we'll catch you next time right here on Silver Screen Previews.